Research was inspired by some questions that had arisen on my family's farm in west central Wisconsin. We had been practicing no-till planting for quite a few years, and we started exploring ways that we could possibly enhance our soil conservation efforts. So I looked at that as a way to start a research project. So I took my ideas to Dr. Holly Dolliver at University of Wisconsin River Falls, and with her we came up with this natural field study to observe the impact of row spacing and residue type on sediment and phosphorus transport in no-till soybeans. So just taking a look back at soil conservation, this picture here is of Hugh Hammond Bennett in the 1930s when soil erosion was at the forefront of everyone's attention because of the Dust Bowl. Hugh Hammond Bennett saw that erosion wasn't just limited to wind. He also was looking at water erosion. And so President Theodore Roosevelt appointed Bennett to start the Soil Erosion Service, which is the present-day NRCS. The first thing that he did is he surrounded himself with a team of experts from the University of Wisconsin. One of those experts included Aldo Leopold, who is seen in this picture here. And this is actually in a pasture in the area where they chose for their first nationwide demonstration of soil conservation, which was in Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And basically what they did there is it was a large-scale project to demonstrate to farmers how to conserve their soil. So even though some of those farmers who cooperated with Bennett in the 1930s admitted that after their five-year contract was over, this recent picture from the Coon Valley area, which actually was featured in National Geographic, shows that the effects of Bennett and his work can still be seen today. So since that time, extensive amounts of research have gone towards soil conservation. Some of that research has told us that no-till systems can decrease soil loss. Narrow row spacings can decrease runoff and erosion. And we've also found that the majority of phosphorus in agricultural runoff is normally attached to soil sediment. So all of those things that we have found since the 30s sort of led to the question that we were asking on the farm. Can we integrate a few of those together into one system? And so, for example, narrow row no-till planting. We now have the option with new equipment that is on the market to plant crops such as soybeans in narrow row spacings and while no-till planting. So the specific question we were asking is, does narrow row no-till decrease sediment and phosphorus transport? And on this particular planter, it has 19 centimeter row spacings or 7.5-inch row spacings. So the objective of this study is to quantify the impact of residue type and row spacing on sediment and phosphorus transport in no-till soybeans. So this study took place in La Crosse County, Wisconsin, just a few miles from the Coon Valley watershed where soil conservation began. It's west central Wisconsin, right on the Mississippi River. The dominant soil in the area of the study is the Walton series. And the important part is this area is sort of the model for the entire La Crosse County and beyond area. It features 15% slopes, which is the norm. So just taking a look at the design of this study, it was a field study under natural rainfall. We had 8 plots that were 36 square feet, and we were looking at residue type and row spacing. And it was arranged in a split plot arrangement. Throughout the study, precipitation data was recorded with a tipping bucket rain gauge and also a data logger. This is just an example of one of the plots. This particular plot has 30-inch row spacings planted in the corn residue. You can see a galvanized sheet metal barrier that's about 9 inches tall surrounding the plot, and that is keeping all runoff from outside of the plot. It's isolating it from the rest of the field. So basically what we're doing is right here is a 25-gallon collection basin, and this barrier is keeping, is just ensuring that the only runoff we are collecting is from rain that fell inside this plot. And then this is a canopy covering the collection basin just to make sure that precipitation is not being collected also. So just taking a look at the treatments. The corn residue consisted of 86% ground cover, and the soybean residue had 42% ground cover. And the, what we called the narrow rows for row spacing, narrow rows were 19 centimeters wide, or 7.5 inches, and the wide rows were 76 centimeters, or 30 inches. And also the soybeans were planted with the standard plant spacing and population. Was your standard applications of N and K, and the soil test phosphorus is pretty much in line with the rest of the surrounding area. It's historically been an intensely dairied area. And also, it's been in 100% no-till for 8 years now. Then the soybeans were planted on May 6th, and they all emerged around May 17th. And as far as enclosure, the narrow rows were about 2 weeks ahead of the wide rows. Throughout the study, data was collected. After every significant runoff event, a sample of runoff was collected. And those samples were later used to determine sediment gravimetrically. And then also phosphorus was analyzed from those samples. Soluble phosphorus was filtered, and the total phosphorus was digested, and they were both analyzed using the ascorbic acid method. Now we're going to take a look at the results. The data was analyzed statistically at a probability of less than 0.1. This is an example of a newspaper clipping from last summer in La Crosse. Basically, what I'm pointing out here is it was an extremely wet year. In fact, it was a record-breaking year for precipitation in La Crosse County. And that ended up being significant in a study in which we were looking at runoff. So on this graph here, you can see on the top is rainfall, and on the bottom is runoff. You can see some extremely large runoff events. And this one in particular, you can see many days of rain leading up to it. And you can also see here how much rain we actually did get. It's almost double the 30-year average. And ended up with 12 major runoff events. So just taking a look at some of the trends here. For runoff, corn exceeded soybeans, and in the row spacings, the wide rows were significantly more than narrow rows with runoff. I'm looking at sediment here. There was no consistent trend according to residue type, but with row spacing, the wide rows were significantly had more sediment loss than the narrow rows. And that is actually greater than other previous published data. And total phosphorus, there was no significant trend in the soybeans were had more total phosphorus loss than the corn, but in the according to row spacing, the narrow rows exceeded wide rows. And that, too, was greater than previous data. And then soluble phosphorus made up about 18% of the total phosphorus, and the soybean residue exceeded the corn residue, and in the row spacing, the wide rows exceeded the narrow rows. So this table here just summarizes everything, makes it a little easier to see. On the row spacing, you can see that wide rows exceeded narrow rows in runoff, sediment, and total phosphorus loss. In conclusion, the row spacing had a significant impact on runoff, sediment, and phosphorus losses, with wider rows having higher losses than narrow rows. And even though the residue type was not statistically significant, there was a consistent trend with soybean residue having higher losses than corn residue. So I have quite a few people to thank for helping make this possible. And just in conclusion, I'd just like to say that the future of soil conservation is bright. We have many people to turn to in the future, and if you can trust those who can't reach the pedals. That's my son. Any questions? So the question was, are there advantages to or reasons why you would plant narrow rows? Historically, the reason why people got away from narrow rows was because of white mold problems. But there are also advantages to planting narrow rows, and one of those is the plants get higher because of competition, and it's better for harvesting, less loss. There have been more people planting in narrow rows more recently because they're getting more of a control on the white mold problems now, so that hasn't been showing up as much. So the question is, what is a significant runoff event? For the purpose of this study, a significant runoff event was any event that produced enough runoff in my plot to get a sample, and that usually meant to get a half inch or more of runoff in a 25-gallon collection barrel. Any other questions? Well, there's quite a few of them going on, and even in this study area, buffer strips and different types of, well, cover crops are getting more popular now in the area, and just getting a good hold on your rotation. Grass waterways, I've been around for a while, so, and pretty much everything is in contour strips. Thank you.